Australia Remembers, tape number 12. This interview is with Mr. Ken Dobson of Cranbourne, recorded on the 19th of October 1995.
Well, I turned 17 on 10th of December 1941. On the 22nd of December 1941, I went and enlisted in the 2nd AIF at Melbourne Town Hall. I had to get a birth certificate because I put my age up to 19, and under 21 you had to have a birth certificate, so I went and got a birth certificate and took it into where I was working in the market and put it on a typewriter and altered it to put it 2 years ahead, took the extract back and they accepted it, so I was in the army. First camp we went to was Caulfield Race Course, and we slept on the in the grandstand with a couple of blankets. And I tell you, it was bitterly cold. We weren't there very long. Then we went to Watsonia training camp, did a bit of infantry training there. Oh, that might have been last. No, that was last, I'm sorry. We went to, from Caulfield Race Course, we went to Darley Camp up near Bacchus Marsh. Did our infantry training there. Came back, went to Watsonia Camp, and from there we started to be drafted to 2nd 24th Battalion 9th Division in the Middle East. We went to 24th Battalion. I think we left Australia in late August on the Devonshire, a British troop ship, and arrived at Port Chufik in late September, early October, I think it was from memory. From there we went up to Palestine, went into an empty battalion, infantry training battalion at a place called Nusayrat in Palestine. While we were training there, naturally the 23rd of October, the big Battle of Alamein started, which our unit was involved in. And I joined the battalion in the first draft that went up after Alamein as, well, it wasn't over, the British and all the other troops went on towards Tunisia and all that. But the Australian troops were pulled out then because we had to return home because of the Japanese threat.
So Pearl Harbor had an impact.
Pearl Harbor had happened on... in 1941, before, right, it was the 8th of December, before I turned 17. I was 16 then. I turned 17 2 days after.
Right.
And that's when I joined the army.
So even after that, they were still sending Australian troops to
the
Middle East?
Well, we had to go over there to reinforce them before they could come home. That's the way the British Army operates. Just in case anything happened and the battalion had to go on again. Like if Rommel would have overthrown them or checked them for a while, they would have had to be reinforced and go back in the front line again.
So what do you think was the deciding force on pulling the troops back? Was it the fall of Singapore?
It was the political... the Prime Minister of Australia at the time, I forget who it was, there was a couple of them, they were arguing the point with Churchill, he wouldn't let the Australians come home, the 9th Division, because he wanted them to go into Alamein, and so did Montgomery. As far as we could find out, we were only pawns in the game of the political thing, that the politicians wanted the Australian 9th Division home so they could defend Australia, because the Jap was approaching Australia too fast. But Churchill, in his wisdom, he said, no, he said, we want them here. Well, when you can look at the whole perspective of it, Britain were fighting on, they were fighting in Europe, they were fighting in the Middle East. Pull the Australians out or diminish that force and Rommel might have beaten the 8th Army. Well then, where's England then? So you've got a lot of people are crook on Churchill for doing this, but you've got to look at the right perspective of it. He had to win the Middle East battle first. He had to win that. Otherwise, Germany could have come back through the back pocket, down through China and that, because Japan had joined the war. So we joined the battalion up in the desert, a place called Tel Eliza Station, which was just on from Al Alamein Station. That was about, when was that? That must have been early November, I think it was. And it wasn't long after that we camped in the desert in the slip trenches and that for a few weeks, I think. And then the whole division came back to Palestine. I had my 18th birthday on the way back out of the desert. And... we had Christmas in Palestine.
Did you ever have any regrets at joining up so young?
No. The best thing that ever happened to me. I've had a wonderful experience. Yeah. I went from a boy to a man in one day. Because I remember one of the, I was a bit of a smart aleck at one time, and one of the boys had just come out of Crete in the 2nd, 7th Battalion, and they were either injured or sick, and when their division came home, the 6th Division came home, they were cross-posted to the 9th Division. I'm never forgetting Big Harvey Johnson, he's about twice the size of me. I made a smart aleck remark at him one day in the desert, 17-year-old, he's going to be a bell over the ear. And one of the other guys said, turn him over, leave him alone, he's only a kid. And Harvey Johnson says, he might be a kid, he said, but he's getting a man's salary. And so that, I grew up very quick then. I kept my mouth shut a lot. He was quite right. No, I've never had any regrets. I think it was a wonderful experience. You've got to come out alive. The main thing is that you came through it alive. Pretty good, 4.5 years in the infantry and come out alive. It's not a bad effort, really, when you consider what the battalion went through. I think we had 376 killed in action out of our 1 year. And I don't know how many were in action. It was astronomical. But at one particular time, and I think it was before I joined the battalion, it was either after the July show in the desert or after the October show that a transport unit was sent up the desert to bring our unit back again. And they see how the transport came out. I said, come on, you 25th guys, hurry up, get in these trucks. He says, where's the rest of them? There were 31 of them. I said, that's all that was left out of over 1,000 men. That's all there was. The rest were wounded, prisoner of war or killed. But that was before I joined them. I think we left Palestine to come home in February 1943, that would have been, wouldn't it? Well, that was all 42. In 1943 we left Palestine to come home, and I think we got home about March or something, 1943, March or April. But ironically, just to digress for a moment, I went through 4.5 years of war and never saw a winter. Every time I left Australia, I went to a hot country, came back in the summer, and 4.5 years without seeing the winter was wonderful. We came home in about March or April, I think it was. Had a couple of weeks leave. And then the whole battalion went to, where did we go first? I think we went to Seymour first. And the whole division was, you know, organised again. And then we entrained for Cairns, right up in the Atherton Tablelands. We camped up there to do our jungle training. The 2nd 14th Battalion NCOs, they'd already been to New Guinea and back again, and they came home with the 7th Division, and those guys were our instructors in jungle warfare training. And after we did that training, we went to Mission Beach, I think it was, and did some training with the Yank, because then we had to go and do the landing at Leigh, a town in the east coast of New Guinea, or northeast coast of New Guinea. And 2nd 23rd Battalion, our brigade was the first, 2nd 23rd was the first hit the shore, we were second, or third, I think, I just forget, we must have been reserve, we must have been the third.
And what was the situation in New Guinea at that stage?
The situation?
Yeah.
Well, the Japs had Leigh bottled up. They'd been right down to Milne Bay.
Right.
Of course, they were heading across Kokoda Trail. That was some of the militia battalions, they did that. They arrested that situation. And Milne Bay, some of them still operated. I think it was the 7th Brigade in there. It might have been the 6th Brigade, 6th Division, I just forget now. We landed at New Milne Bay first on our way up to Buna, and then we left Buna and organised, and then we did the landing at Leigh. And that landing by the Australians, by us then, was the first seaborne landing since Gallipoli by Australian troops. We couldn't get into Leigh. We were supposed to get there first, but we didn't, because we were held up by a Bushu River, which was, when we got there, the forward company says, yeah, we can cross. They were given orders from the brigade not to cross it. We didn't cross. We got up next morning, and there's the river running, risen about 12 foot high and running about 8 to 10 knots. They sew something in there and went that out through the sea. We lost two or three guys over that cross, trying to cross it. The 2nd 32nd Battalion, they were further down on the coastline. They crossed about 240 metres up, I think, from the history of it. And some of those guys were swept out to sea, but they picked them up again. then actually the 7th Division landed by parachute at Nadsab, and they got into Lae before we did, but it doesn't matter, we got the city, they got the town, that was the main thing. That was a lot of, we'd been fully reinforced by then from Australia, and we virtually had a practically a new battalion. Not many of the older guys were left. From Lae, we pulled out of there, all went right up through the hills. Every time the Jap retreated, we had to chase him and catch him. You probably heard of Saddleburg, when David Derrick had the 48th Battalion won his DVC. We did the Saddleburg, then we went on to Wario. And at Wario, we got through the township up on the mountain on the Wario Bonga track. And I was forward scout there for A Company, leading. I don't know how far we'd got through Wario. We weren't far down the track, and the second scout behind me went over to check a trail on the left, and he came back to report to me what the track was clear, but unfortunately just round the bend was a lining us straight up was a Japanese laying there with a rifle, which you couldn't see. You couldn't see any hand in front of you those days. We were up there anyhow. And all of a sudden, bang, bang, bang. Well, he'd lined the two of us up. Well, the bullet went through my pocket, across my front, grazed my penis, went out my other pocket, straight through the forward grip of the Owen gun of my second scout, my mate Snowy Yarwood, and went straight through his belly. Killed him stone dead. So I hit the ground as quick as I could, and he threw about three more shots at me. But he missed me, thank heaven. So then the next company came through and they took over. And a bit further down the track, we ran into their encampment where this delaying party had been. When we were there, we formed up to attack there on a high rise. 8th Platoon were on our right, we were in the centre, and 9th Platoon were right of 8th Platoon. And we went at the attack and we walked into a wall about that high and we couldn't get up. And every time we got the head over there, bang, 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 bullets were coming. We were losing too many men. So all we do was just supported the other two platoons on the right-hand side. And I think it was an MM and a DCM one at that action. And an MC by Lieutenant Jerry Stretcher, the 9th Platoon. One of our guys was a Bren gunner, Les Chatfield. He got a burst straight through the stomach. He died on the spot, and Rex King, our stretcher bearer, pulled him out and administered first aid to him, and you know, tried to cheer him up, and that was no good. We had a new lieutenant with us at the time. He'd never been in action before. So our sergeant had come from the Middle East. He'd been in plenty, and the lieutenant said, "Well, you keep going as platoon commander. So I'll just sit back and watch and learn." He grabbed the Bren gun off Les Chatfield, put his head up over the stump, let a burst gun, bang! He got a burst through the shoulder. So he lasted, his action lasted about 10 minutes, so they carted him out too. They never ever saw him again. He looked as though he had going to be a good lieutenant. Unfortunately, these things happened during wartime. After we'd taken that position, we had another one of our guys, it was under me, and he was trying to... I won't tell you about that story. He was a silly fool, and he lost a leg over it. He disobeyed an order and lost a leg, being stupid. After that action, we continued on down the Wario Bonga track, and the 2nd, 32nd, the 24th Brigade, they were coming up from the sea, and we were going down to the sea. And it wasn't long after that that the whole New Guinea action, as far as we were concerned, not the New Guinea action, but the Lae action had finished. We'd cleaned the Japs right out. So the next thing out, you get to sea again, and get on another landing craft for the Yanks, and you come in and land on the Finchhaven area. And that's another second landing. New Guinea hole through was a shocking campaign. We were undersupplied. Everything was under all the time because we never had enough, the administration never had enough experience there. They were used to fighting in the desert. Yeah. They were used to it.
I'm just wondering what the conditions were.
Oh, entirely the opposite to what they were used to. Mm-hmm. Plus with your diseases and everything. Mm-hmm. Malaria and dengue, and that they were going down like flies. I copped a dose of malaria 3 times, but in the finish you got sicker, but you wouldn't go out because your battalion was you were depleting it too much. You were leaving too much of there, so you just had to put up with it. They used to catch you, and as soon as you got out again, you'd go back to the hospital and fill you up with quinine and you'd get over it again.